great honor, no greater privilege than this to be invited by the pastor of the Lord's church to come and to preach the Word of God. I had the privilege about 25 years ago of being in the White House of Washington, D.C. But I want you to know, folks, that that wasn't the privilege that this is here today. I'd rather be as feeble as I am and as feeble effort as I make, and only by God's grace can I preach. I'd rather be a minister and a preacher than to be the president of the United States. And I want to express my appreciation to this church, to the ladies of this church, especially in their fine meals and the fellowship. And I think I ought to say this. God laid it on my heart to say it. As most of you know, I have a very difficult throat problem as a result of surgery, and that surgery was a result of sin. But it's all under the blood of the cross of Calvary. But I want you to know, the ladies of this church, my food meal broke down the day I got here. But I want you to know I have a missed meal. There's been a dear lady or two of this church that has hand-prepared me some food each meal. And this I thank God for. And I'll tell you, the Lord will bless you for it. And I thank God for it. But anyway, this afternoon, as we come, we've got a great lot more important things to talk about than that. First of all, I would like to take this occasion to invite you to our conference. Our Bible conference will be the 8th, 9th, and 10th of May, beginning on Thursday night, going through the afternoon service of Saturday afternoon. Many of these brethren that have preached here in the last 2 days will be speaking. Brother Titus will be one of them, the pastor of a church here. And we are looking forward to that conference even when we leave here. I expect my people have been making some preparation for it while I've been gone. And so we've enjoyed the messages that we've heard as these our brethren have brought. Brother Hancock, I appreciate that. That was exactly what I think is needed in the day in which we live. And I enjoyed every moment of it. Even though many times I have to search my own heart and try to determine, have I got everything right? And I try to do that before I preach. Definitely before I preach. I try to do that every day, but definitely before I preach the Word of God. Because I have a responsibility. This is a privilege. But I have a responsibility here this afternoon, and that is to share with you the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. We turn in the book as we look for just a few moments now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, looking in verse 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this afternoon as we come into thy presence, Lord. Father, as we stand behind the pulpit here at Home Baptist Church. Our Father, we are standing in need of prayer. We stand here, our Father, realizing, Lord, that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Realizing, our Heavenly Father, that we are not worthy of this honor, this great privilege. We are also made to be aware of the fact, Lord, that many years ago, by your grace, you called us out of the walks of sin and called us to be a servant of thine. And we realize, our Heavenly Father, that you gave me the grace to submit to thee, Lord, and to repent. And Father, many years after that, you called us to preach your word. And by that same grace, our Father, we were able to surrender and submit ourselves to that call. Now, our Father, we come to thee as we have always, and that is totally dependent upon thee. Our Father, by the working power of our Holy Spirit, we pray this afternoon, Lord, that you will be glorified, that this church will be edified, that we that belong to you will be strengthened and drawn closer to thee. that be one under the sound of our voices lost in sin. Maybe this be the hour that he or she will be granted repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. As we look in this, I believe, in this 13th and 14th verses, rereading them again, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this for a little while, we of course want to preach to you about God's salvation. The salvation of God. Salvation is of course a revelation from God. We find in the Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 44 that no man can come to the Father except, except my Spirit draw him. And so we are mindful of this afternoon. As we come and deal with the Word of God, we find in the salvation that we have been privileged to have in our heart for a little better than 40 years is a salvation that had been foreordained and had been planned and prepared for me for 2,016 years plus. At least it had been bought and paid for over 2,000 years before I was brought to Christ. But then I would say when we go into eternity past, and we'll find that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit worked out the plan of salvation, and it was all worked out by transactions that was done in eternity past, none of which I had anything whatsoever to do with. But I would say unto you this afternoon that I find the Word of God teaches us at least four transactions that took place pertaining to our salvation, and none of them man has anything whatsoever to do with. But we find that man did not receive salvation, for by grace are we saved, not of works lest any man should boast, but it is a gift of God. So we find that we are saved by the grace of God, and not by works. Neither did we negotiate a plan of salvation with God, because man would have had no ability, and if man had anything whatsoever to do with it, it would be contaminated. But thank God this afternoon that the salvation that we enjoy, the salvation that we have, is God's salvation, and we're mindful that what the Lord doth, he doth forever. It is an eternal salvation, and this doesn't mean just now that I'm saved, once saved, always saved. It does mean that, but if it's an eternal salvation, then it goes from eternity to eternity. Amen. And so the transaction that we'll speak of this afternoon will be the transactions that has took place in eternity past and will be consummated in eternity future. And so as we look at the Word of God, of course, in that great verses of Scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, they're familiar to all of us that believes the doctrines of grace, but nevertheless, you can't read them too much. You can't preach on them too much. You can't study them too much. Because as we look in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we find for just a few moments, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now as we look at this, first of all, as the plan of salvation, the transaction, we'll speak of at least four transactions that took place. First of all, we are the chosen of God. It had to be the chosen. Now, I do not know why that God chose me unto salvation before the world ever began, but I do know that it is the truth, and I speak upon the authority of the Word of God, that before eternity, before this world was ever created, Therefore, God ever breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, a man become a living soul. He had foreordained and he had chosen a people that he would come and die for. We'll get into that later. But he had foreordained a people, and I was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Now, folks, I would say unto you, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, Paul, an epistle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This brings a great joy to my heart, folks, when I know that God had a people an eternity past that he had foreknowledge of in eternity past, that he would choose unto salvation. It overwhelms me, and I cannot find words and this feeble vocabulary to express to you what this does when we take the scriptures and examine them and realize that I didn't get saved because of an accident. I didn't get saved because I slipped up on God's blind side and caught him unaware and he saved me. But I got saved, folks, because that was in the foreordained plan of God before the world ever began, folks. And I would say unto you that I have been born again. I'm an adopted son of God. I am a chosen son of God. And I love to quote there in the third epistle to John, where it said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Folks, I was born in Montgomery County, Tennessee, on April the 24th, 1930. And I want you to know that first birth, there was a lot wrong with it, even though I was physically all right. I want you to know the older I got, the more sinful I got, the more rebellious I got. And when I reached my teenage years, it seemed that I reached the height for my rebellion. But I want you to know that there come a time when God brought me down. I want you to know that there was a plan. I didn't know about it, for it had been in existence for throughout eternity. But I didn't know about it. But I want you to know, I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I knew there was something wrong with me, because I couldn't do anything right. And there wasn't nothing I was good at it. The only thing I was good at is rebelling against everything that was truth. But I want you to know that God so ordered it that one day I heard the gospel and I repented of my sins, as he gave me the grace to repent, and I become a child of the Lord. I want you to know that when I become, I not only have knowledge and I have a memory of that, but I want you to know that some things took place in my life after that had proved to me that I wasn't the old me, but there was something new had happened to me. And I would say unto you, folks, that this salvation that God has foreordained is a salvation not only will save us from a penalty of sin, but it is the salvation that was quoted a few moments ago in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I thank God that there is a change that comes over. And thanks be, as it already have been said here this week, I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not yet what I shall be. But I would say unto you all of this according to the working plan of God's salvation. As we look at this for a little while now, how he chose a people to be born into the world and receive the gift of salvation. And as we said, that we are the chosen people of God. Now, but before this could come to pass, now this was the first transaction in eternity. And we were chosen of God. This was God's business. Why it was he chose some and others wasn't chose, that's none of my business. All I know is that everyone that has a want to in their heart, everyone that has a desire to repent and be saved can be saved. and that's all that I need to concern myself with. And I'm not worried about those that he did not elect unto salvation. That's nothing to me. God, we were all in sin, and he didn't have to save any of us, but thank God that I'm one of them, that he chose in eternity past to save my soul, folks. This makes me really enjoy my salvation, because I didn't have God under no obligation. Beloved, I want you to know, when I was a child, I remember I gave my brothers and me some ducks, and they swapped one off on me, and he was supposed to be the ugly duckling. Well, I tell you what, that was the most beautiful drake you ever looked at. And beloved, I want you to know that we were the ugly ducklings in God's eyes, all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the ugly ducklings we were, but God saved us.
Amen.
Now why? You can talk all day long, and I can too. You can't find anything but grace to describe it. We were chosen. The first transaction then, worthy, we're the chosen sons of God. Folks, in that plan of salvation, there was also about three more things that we shall mention that was to take place. Now, God could have saved us any way he chose to. Now, he could have just spoke salvation unto all of us. But in order for him to save us, first of all, he had to choose us. And then in order for those that he's chosen to be saved, then there had to be an atonement made for that salvation. Without the atonement, there would be no salvation. But I want you to know that when God, the Father, the Son, the great triune God, in eternity past, when he chose a people, then he realized in choosing a people that it would be a needful that the sins of those people would be atoned for. I want us to realize tonight then, rather this afternoon, looking in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, looking in about verse 7 through 10, we find, as we look at this now for a few moments, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, then said, I come in the volume of a book, it is written, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the mighty of Jesus Christ once for all. Then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So, beloved, we must remember then that we have had our sins atoned for, and the Lord Jesus Christ went yonder to the cross of Calvary. Let us look first of all in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, as we hurry on, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We find in Mark chapter 15 verses 13 through 15, we find, as we look at this for a few moments, And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 34. Let's just take verse 34 here. He's in it, the ninth hour. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Folks, I want us to realize and be mindful of the fact that in this great salvation that God has given us, we have to be the called of God. But then we find that Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and he gave himself as a sacrifice. He shed his own blood that we might have a remission and redemption from sin. Now I want us to know that there was not a drop of that blood that came from the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That was wasted or spent uselessly. I want you to know, folks, and you may disagree with this, and that may well is well your privilege, but I want us to know and realize this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for every man. I want you to realize He died for His people, and His people alone is who He died for. He died for an X amount of people. He died for a set amount of people. He died for a chosen amount of people. And I would say unto you that everyone that He died for will come unto Him. But I want us to know and realize that it took the call of God for our salvation, and then it took the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't take just the blood of a man, but it took the blood of a perfect man, one that was born of virgin birth. Never has there been a birth like that before. Never has there been since then. The Lord Jesus Christ was and is and ever shall be the Son of God. And therefore, because that He had the perfect blood, my friend, then His blood was sufficient to make the atonement. And my sins were atoned for when I came to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another point yet to come. When I came to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was because He called me. And when I came, the atonement had already been made. And the atonement, it had already been preordained. It had already been foreordained. It had already been prepared for me. But I wasn't saved until the atonement was applied. But I would say unto you folks this afternoon, as we look at these thoughts from the Word of God, what my desire is first of all that God would be glorified, and that we would magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He would be pleased with us this afternoon as we study the subject of His great salvation. But I want us to know, if I say what my desire was, that you and I alike, that we would come to love the Lord more, and that we would come to a realization what a great gift of God that salvation is. So therefore, we was not saved without the atonement. It took the atonement that was in the transactions. And so therefore, we must remember that then. And then we want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As we hasten back there to it for just a few moments, that we might continue with this thought that we have before us, and the great transaction of God. The Lord laid this on my heart a long time ago. I preached it to my people. I believe I preached it to Camden, Tennessee. Brother Harvey, Brother Jones, I think, was there. And I do not remember whether they were preached from this subject before or not. But I want you to know that there was a song that we used to sing in a church where I grew up in. And it was "Oh Happy Day." And one of these verses of that song is, "'Tis done, the great transaction is done. I am the Lord, and the Lord is mine." And I got to thinking about the transactions of God and what took place for that transaction. Now, the church I grew up in was Arminian, and I would say they probably felt like that transaction was made when man come and begged the Lord long enough to save them. But that transaction began in eternity, folks. And then, therefore, it was provided for by the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we look at this and continue on, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of the world? Have God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Beloved, I want us to know that there in Romans also in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We'll get there and come around to what we've got to say on it. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now folks, he did not choose us as he would have chosen a robot. That who was to be saved, that's hargillism, that who was going to be saved was going to be. But beloved, he chose us, and then he chose an atonement to be made for us, and he chose that his word would be preached unto us. No one is saved without the preaching of God's word. I love and I have enjoyed this singing here this week, and these special, because I believe these people are doing this from their heart and to the glory of the Lord. And I know that they believe what I believe. But I want you to know there hasn't been anyone sung to the Lord yet. There never has been and there never will be. I can tell you that when a person receives Christ as his or her personal Savior, it will be because they were in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. It will be because Jesus had already went under the cross and died for them. And it will be because the foolishness of preaching has been applied unto them. And therefore, it is through the foolishness of preaching. Therefore, we dare not neglect the preaching of the word of God. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end of the ways of destruction. And therefore, the ways that seemeth right unto man operates off of a great program. They operate off of many ways and gimmicks and what have you. But the way of God has always been, it never has been any other way, and never will be any way. The way God has chosen to bring the lost to repentance is through the foolishness of preaching. That's why that I preach. And I am told that I am to carry the gospel to every creature. I do not know who's elect, who isn't, but I know I have a responsibility and I have a command of God that I am to preach the word. I am to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. I am made to realize that, and I thank God tonight, today, this afternoon, that there is a people that he died for, there is a people he planned for, there is a people he sent his word unto, and one by one, they will come to him.
Amen,
and I want you to know, somebody said there's not anybody else going to get saved. Well, I'd be awful worried about it if I didn't think there was. There has been a while since anybody was saved at Northside. There might not ever be another saved at Northside. But I'll guarantee you this afternoon there's others to be saved because the rapture hasn't come yet. And there's still a people that Christ died for that will come unto him. They will come unto him. When I entered the ministry, God called me to preach the word. I got all worked up because I couldn't get people saved. I got all worked up because I'd preach, and it didn't look like it'd be one thing in the world happened. But I want you to know, folks, that I preached the word of God, and then all of a sudden, the most least likely candidate trust Christ as their Savior. Not the one I had pictured would trust him. I have a young man in our church, and some of you that know our church know Brother Jackie Blake. And I'll tell you what, I had went to his house. He was off on Saturday afternoon, and I'd beat on his door till he'd come to the door. And he had about as much interest in salvation as my wife does in cleaning it up. But I want you to know that I kept going. And God gave me the grace to go. And I always would tell my wife and others, and I'd tell this man's wife, I'd say, well, I don't know whether he'll ever be saved or not, but I'm going to be faithful to witness to him. Now I want you to know, about 12 years ago, one Sunday morning, lo and behold, I looked up and Jackie Blake was sitting beside his wife. Now I want you to know the word of God, as God gave me the grace, it was preached. And all of a sudden, Christ, but God just reached out and plucked him out. Brought him down. He come down that aisle, and you'd have thought he'd lost one of his kids. He was screaming. I never heard a man so in my life. He hadn't been in his church. And he said, Brother Smith, I'm already saved because of there a minute back yonder that I was told that I repented of my sins. He saved me. And just let me tell the church about it. And I'll tell you what, he's been there 12 years, and he's still serving the Lord. I can name off dozens that has happened to, but I want you to know, folks, that he was saved not because of Mitchell Smith. He was saved not because of anything that I done, but he was saved because he was a part of that great transaction. God in eternity. He was part of that great transaction. God chose this, it said, the means in which to be saved by. Prove a foolishness of preaching, he chose to bring the lost to repentance. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Then he sent his word unto a people. Now there is a people that's not going to hear the word. They're not going to pay it any attention. They'll continue to be cold toward it until eternity. And then they'll have no opportunity to hear it anymore. But I will say unto you that when I have witnessed to a man, I don't mean to sound cold hearted, but when I have witnessed a man and I took him the gospel, I'm not going to lose any sleep over whether he gets saved or not, because that's God's business. Now you understand, I'm questioning God and I'm tampering with the things of God if I go to try to interfere with that. When I preach the word of God, I do give an invitation as God lays it on my heart to do so. But I want you to know that I try to stop just short of talking anybody into coming down the aisle. I try to stop just short of that, because I'm afraid there's been too many that has been talked out of their seats and been talked down the aisle. They've been talked into the baptistry, and then a pastor has spent 20 years begging them to serve the Lord after he got them in church.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, we must remember then that God foreordained. He foreknew a people. He foreordained a people. I got in trouble on the radio once with this when I said he didn't die for everybody. But I want you to know that I'm ready to get in trouble again, because if I'm preaching on that subject, that's exactly what I've got to say again. Because he didn't die for everybody. And as we continue now to look at this, we find then the call, how we find the atonement, and we find the word. We find those three things was contained in that transaction in eternity past. Then we look at the Gospel of John now. And the Gospel of John chapter 16, looking in verse 7. As we think on these thoughts for a few moments, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, but Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Beloved, with the atonement, with the calling, the atonement and the word, still there would be no salvation without the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, there are those that have been chosen, have also been atoned for, and they will hear the word. But folks, if that was all, I cannot find anywhere in the Bible the word of God that tells me there would be any salvation. Because it takes repentance. It takes the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit. I was raised, my mom and dad took me to church, but I want you to know, folks, that it didn't mean anything to me. Because that all I did when I got out from under the control of my parents was went on out in the world and tried to take my fill of sin. But I want you to know, folks, that one day I heard the gospel like I never heard it before. And the convicting power of God got hold upon me. And I wonder why that was. That was because yonder in eternity past, it had already been foreordained for me. I want you to know how that I realize that God can save you the minute He chooses to save you. Now, I'm not talking about progressive salvation. I'll talk to you about progressive sanctification if you choose, but I won't talk to you about progressive salvation. But I want you to know that God's Holy Spirit, He wasn't trying to get me saved. He was conditioning me for the day that He would bring me to Him. And I want you to know that I'd get out and I'd get into something again, and my heart would be breaking over the fact that I done already saw myself as a sinner, and I done realized there wasn't anything good about me. I didn't know what to do. And I'll tell you what, at one time my family had pretty well come down on me over sin, and I took a .22 rifle and went out back and sat down on a railroad and was going to blow my head off. Wonder why I didn't. I'll tell you why I did. Because in eternity past, it was foreordained that before I would die, I don't know when I'll die, but it was foreordained that before I leave this life, that I would hear the gospel and God's Holy Spirit would bring me to conviction. He hadn't done that then.
Amen, brother.
See, I felt like didn't anybody care one thing in the world about me, and there wasn't anything good about me anyway. But I want you to know that the one night I'd been out somewhere, and I went and sat down on the church steps because it'd been so long since I'd been there, I was ashamed to go in. And I sat down on the church steps and I heard the gospel. Well, I went home. I didn't feel like I was in any shape to go to church. And I want you to know I went home, and the next Sunday morning I came to church. And it just bothered me that much worse. He was bearing down on me. And I want you to know I went home after that Sunday morning. And that time, God's Holy Spirit, He didn't let up. When I got home, I was in worse shape than I was when I left. And I fell on my knees before God. And I cried out, "Oh God, have mercy on me." And I was saved.
Amen.
You know why I got saved? Folks, I didn't talk Him into it. I got saved because it was already set up for me. But I didn't get saved until it was planned. I didn't get saved until there was an atonement made. I didn't get saved until the word was preached to me. And I didn't get saved until God's Spirit convicted me. So in that foreordained plan, it took the call of God. I shall never know this side of eternity and may not know in eternity. Only as God will see fit to reveal it unto us in eternity. I shall never know why that God chose me. But I will say unto you that He did. And I thank God that His Spirit began to work. Now this Spirit, let's deal with this for a few more minutes now. We find the plan of God, the transaction, the call. We find the atonement. And we find the sending of the Word. We find the sending of the Spirit was all pre-planned in eternity. But His Spirit, folks, I want you to know, in view of the fact, the first work that His Spirit did with me was bring me to salvation. That's what He was sent for. He was sent to convict of sin. Howbeit, when the Spirit has come, He will guide you to all truth. And we find in the seventh verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient that I go away, for I go not away the comforter when I come." The 8th verse says, "And when He has come, He will reprove or convict of sin." And I want you to know that that was the first work that God's Spirit that I can find in the Bible does with an individual. But then I want you to know, folks, that His Holy Spirit takes His abode in who? And those that were included in that transaction. His Holy Spirit takes His abode. And the great Comforter takes His place in our lives. Folks, for some 40 years plus, I have been saved. Now I want you to know that God's Spirit convicted me. And then He took His place in my heart after He granted me repentance. Took His place in my heart, and then He became the great Comforter. We sing at our church, "The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come." And I want you to know that in times of trials, he's been there. I want you to know when I've looked loved ones in their face, laying in a casket for the last time, he's been there. Now I want you to know, folks, when I've been financially bankrupt, he's been there. Now I want you to know when it looked like my children, every one was going to rebel and leave, I want you to know that that comforter was there. Now that is a part he chose for that to be. He planned my salvation, and as a benefit of that salvation, he gave me the comforter. Now the Holy Spirit didn't just start convicting me. At the time I was received, at the time I got saved, folks, I want you to know that his Holy Spirit still does a convicting work in my heart. That still small voice of God that speaks to me in the person, in the personal personality of the Holy Spirit, then restrains me. He restrains me, and then when I have quenched the work of the Spirit, which is what the Word of God teaches can be done, then he rebukes me, and then he chastises me, and he brings me to submission. And I would certainly say unto you, as the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. And folks, this is what we're talking about. Preacher and pastor, brother, you thank God that God's Holy Spirit is in you, and God's Spirit restrains us, because if God's Spirit did not restrain us, we would every one sink to the very depths of sin. Thanks be unto God this afternoon that I can no longer involve myself in that I have been involved in the past. I can no longer participate and be happy in it. I can commit any sin in the book, but I want you to know I can't do it and be comfortable. You know why? Because God's Spirit is there. He still does a convicting work in my heart. This is called sanctification. So the God's Spirit then brought us unto repentance and faith. And then God's Spirit began a sanctification in our lives at the time of our salvation. And sanctification only means to be set apart. He began to set us apart for his service. I did not follow the Lord's scriptural baptism immediately after I was saved. I had nobody to teach me the truth about it. 3 years later, God sent another man into my picture. I wonder why this was. The man that had told me how to be saved wasn't a Baptist. And God allowed that man to tell me how to be saved, and he never let him say one word to me about church. I wonder why that was. I would say he never let me say it. 3 years later, a missionary Baptist pastor preached the truth of God's word to me about salvation and about scriptural baptism, and I united with the Lord's church. You know why? God's Spirit that brought that was in that transaction in eternity past, God's Spirit was still doing his work. I want you to know that in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it tells us that he placed some in the church. Did not tell you that he placed every one of them in church. It says he placed some. I thank God that I was the elect within the elect, and not only did I get saved, because God's Spirit elected me to salvation, he put me in his church too. I'm not a member of Northside Baptist Church by no accident. I didn't become a member of Berea Baptist Church in Clarkson by no accident. Nor later as I began to do a mission work out of Olmsted Baptist Church, it wasn't by an accident. It was all in that great transaction. Amen, then, I do not know yet what the Holy Spirit will do with me. But I know one thing, that his work is to lead me to all truth. That is his work. And I do not know half of what I want to know now, but I want you to know that as God gives me the grace, I shall know more than I know now. Because that is the sanctifying work of God's Holy Spirit. Now, so as we continue on then, and He said then in the 16th verse of the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, and then that you should go forth, you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. I believe, folks, that God's Holy Spirit beckons us to prayer. I believe they are. I cannot just exactly put my finger on a verse of Scripture, but we can teach it in essence because we find it taught that God's Holy Spirit gives us the need to pray, gives us the feeling of a need to pray. And therefore, we find, as we look at this and continue on for just a few moments longer here, in this salvation that God has given us, in these transactions that we were foreordained unto him, we find, folks, that it began in eternity, that it was made known to us in life, that it will be consummated in eternity to come. We find yonder in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. You want to bear with me for a moment now? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, the door was open. Heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Folks, one day, that great transaction that took place in eternity past, one day, folks, that Holy Spirit that was a part of that transaction in eternity past and has been a part of and has been applied to me in life, one day the rapture will come. He'll say, come up hither. Then, folks, I want you to know, only when I enter into the presence of God, only when I see him face to face, only when I realize, then and only then will I realize what a great salvation it is. That I will then see him face to face. Then it will be complete. Amen. Folks, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. I know we've been saved from, I do not want to be misunderstood on this. I know we've been saved from the penalty of sin. And I know how that salvation will everything else will fall into place. As God has so ordered it. But I want you to know how that we will not realize complete salvation until we're in the presence of God. Amen. I want you to know that he that hath began a good work in us will continue it to the Lord till the day of the Lord. Now I want us to realize upon what I believe with the authority of God's word that you're talking about glory. We will then be able to bring glory to God. Right. Folks, I cannot be what I want to be. I feel about this little this afternoon. And I can't never accomplish what I want to accomplish. Everything seemed like it ought to have been done like 2 days ago. And I want you to know I've never been, there's one part of me that's been happy since I have been saved, and especially since I've entered the ministry, there's another part of me that hasn't been satisfied. Because I can't accomplish what I want. You know why? Because I'm restrained by the flesh. But then one day, he will say, come up here. And I won't be restrained any longer. I can love him all I want to. I won't have sin to contend with. I won't have the flesh to contend with. I can love him all I want to. People talk about wanting to see their loved ones when they get to heaven. I have a lot of loved ones in heaven. I believe with all my heart they're there. But folks, I owe my parents a lot. My mom gave physical birth to me as God gave her the grace to do so. My dad raised me in depression years. It wasn't easy. But I want you to know when I think of heaven, I don't think of them. I want you to know when I think of heaven, I want to see the one. We used to sing at Northside, I want to see him, I want to see him, the one that saved me by his grace. I want you to know I will, no doubt I have what I believe scriptural proof that I'll see my loved ones. But I want you to know, folks, I want to look face to face with that one that saved me by His grace. I want to look at Him, and I want to be able to thank Him personally how that He saved a wretch like me. Now, He didn't have to save me. I didn't deserve to save. I don't to be saved. I don't deserve to be able to continue in the service of the Lord. But by His grace, I'm able to do so. That's all, beloved. I want us to know and realize that that's all because in eternity past, God chose a people that was yet to be created, that was yet to be born. And I can enjoy it. I can be in the service of the Lord as He gives me the grace to be so. But then one day, it'll all be consummated in eternity. And then I shall know a little more about why that He saved me. Thank you.
Amen.